No one was there. Alex hesitated, looking up at the grey clouds in the sky. Then he compelled himself forward. He entered into the lift and pushed the up button. The Prime Minister's office was on the 9th floor. Surely he couldn't reach it, he thought. Surely he would be stopped. The doors on the opposite side of the lift opened. He walked out. The corridor was abandoned. Alex shivered. This wasn't right. No one around? No one in the governmental offices? He walked forward, glancing at the names on the abandoned office's doors, and then, finally, reached the office of the Prime Minister. The door was slightly ajar. He pressed on it gently, and it opened further. James Connor was standing at the window, staring outside.
"Sir?"
whispered Alex, and the man turned to look at him, his middle-aged face looking astonished.
"How did you get in?"
he asked, and Alex shook his head, feeling bewildered.
"I don't know," he said.
"Who are you?"
asked Connor.
"Alex Kensington," he instinctively answered.
Honesty? He was choosing honesty.
"Kensington," said Connor. "His son?"
"Yes," whispered Alex. Connor frowned, then gestured Alex to a seat and sat at his own desk.
"Do you see this place?"
asked Connor, glancing around the room at the plain walls.
"It's all redundant now."
"Redundant?" asked Alex.
"There is no democracy anymore."
Alex stared at the desk in front of him, empty of papers and purpose.
"It's like a ghost town," muttered Connor. "This place, like
a graveyard," finished Alex. He could feel Connor's gaze on his bowed head.
"That's right," said Connor.
"There are some who believe in life after death," muttered Alex, staring into his own hands. "What do you think?"
"Life after death?" asked Connor. "I doubt it."
Alex shifted on his seat and then rose to his feet, wandering over to Connor's window, staring at the empty streets outside.
"Why are you here?" asked Connor.
"I don't know," replied Alex. "It just felt right to come."
"Your father seems to be making inroads into the Socialist Party."
Now Alex's throat tightened.
"Yes," he said quietly.
"Clarkson trusts him implicitly," said Connor. "Should he?"
Alex frowned. A child was walking across the street outside. Drops were starting to fall out of the sky. Suddenly, Alex realized why he had come.
"Do something for me," he said, turning, trusting Connor's perplexed face. "Do something and you will know the truth."
"And will the truth set me free?"
asked Connor wryly.
"Will the truth set us all free?"
"Sometimes we have to die first,"
whispered Alex, feeling his body stiffen,
"before we can truly live."
Connor's brow furrowed, and then he nodded, and Alex led him out of the office toward Parliament House, where the Governor-General was enthroned. Connor passed Alex as he strode across the inner bridge from the first floor of the Beehive to the first floor of Parliament House, taking back the lead. He stopped at the four officers guarding the way, gesturing to Alex.
"He's with me,"
he said, and they nodded. Then Alex followed him where he had never explored, turning corners, walking through chambers, until they walked into the debating chamber. The room was deserted.
"Get Clarkson," said Alex.
"Clarkson will be with Kensington," said Connor.
"Get him," said Alex. "Bring him here, and you will know the truth."
Connor held his gaze, his expression troubled, and then turned and left. Alex wrapped his arms around himself.
Death! He was inviting death!
He looked up at the plaques surrounding the chamber, the images of New Zealand soldiers at war. This was the army, in true defense of New Zealand, in true defense of freedom. Now there were bugs behind the images of heroism. He looked at the throne of the Speaker of the House and the abandoned golden mace sitting on the desk in front. He looked across all of the seats of Parliament, the place where different voices had debated, where the views of everyday New Zealanders had been upheld.
"God defend New Zealand," whispered Alex,
and now the doors into the chamber were thrust open. It was his father. Alex stared at him, at his towering height and penetrating blue gaze. Alex had expected rage, but he saw no rage. Instead, he saw cold calculation.
"Do you really think you are in control?"
asked Kensington, striding toward him.